you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though you could be pre-ordering Grand Theft Auto 6 box right now and find out there's no disc in there, just a link to a website, you've made the wiser choice. Dubious Tech Advice, completely free. This is Battleborn Tech every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on FM 95.1, streaming at knvc.org and later on your favorite podcast app. Wondering if you should back up your photos in the Nevada Day Parade 50-year time capsule? Call Battleborn Tech, 775-241-3571. We'll sort out daily backups, rainy day backups, and someday backups, even 50 years. 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those of the host and callers. This week, we welcome Monica, Lee, and Doug. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect those of KNVC or Computer Corps, who are saving themselves for America's 2-to-the-8th anniversary in 2032, when our country will finally go beyond 8 bits.
I hear that. So anyway, in the news, I read somewhere that Microsoft, in spite of protestations over the last couple of years, is now admittedly extending the Windows 10 serviceability.
Yeah, Microsoft didn't make a big deal about this, and maybe they're a little embarrassed, but Microsoft has extended Windows 10 extended security updates for home users by a full extra year. If you're already in the ESU program, and that's under check under Windows Update, things that were scheduled to stop in October of this year now go through October 12th of 2027. You don't have to lift a finger if you have already been it, but if you're not a road, you can still get in. It costs you nothing. Somewhere there's a $30 option. I've never seen it. What they want you to do, they want you to sign in with a Microsoft account, back up your settings, and they seem to require you to keep using a Microsoft account. You can still be a local account, but you got to check in with that Microsoft account every now and then. Start button settings, update security, Windows update. Check to see if you got extended security updates or if it says enroll now. Enroll now, follow the prompts, and there you go. Your PC needs to be on the latest update for Windows 10. You can check that with Windows key R and type in WINVER to check that. Security fixes only, no updates.
We got our first phone call of the day here, and this is Monica. And Monica's got a wonky web.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, this is Monica calling.
Hey, Monica calling. What's up?
Hey, well, I'm having trouble with my Trello. And if you're not familiar with my Trello board, what that is, it's a project management tool. So
okay.
It helps me keep kind of track of different projects I'm working on.
I thought it was some sort of singing voice, you know, like.
Yes, it kind of sounds like
I guess that's something else. Yes. Okay, so a Trello board, something, a management app, and when we say app, it's so unclear. Is that a program that's installed on your computer, or is it something go on a website? What are we doing?
Yeah, so I have it on my website. I have a website on my laptop, and
A web app. We can call it a web app. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I normally just put in my different projects, what I'm working on. It allows me to kind of move between my different businesses, and I get to set it up like that.
Okay.
And when I logged into it, it looked totally different. It was just distorted. It wouldn't allow me to see what I normally would see, and it just wouldn't even let me put anything in there.
In terms of colors, or could it be an update? Could it be some kind of crazy update Trello decided you needed? Or
well, that's what I was thinking. And then I went on my app on my phone, and it looked fine. So that's why I was thinking it had something to do with my web, my laptop.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the fun things about webs is that you can zoom in. We zoom in with control plus or minus on that, or command plus or minus on a Mac, and it'll go up. Now, according to the Web3 consortium, salute, it's supposed to be workable into 200% without a problem. But by rearranging things, so that's may what happened. Actually, it says you really got to keep it to be best practice. You got to do 400% without horizontal scrolling. So if you got a vertical website, which is almost everything, it's got to be able to withstand a 400% increase in zooming and still work, but it looks weird. So everything that you side to side becomes a column, like the rows start flipping under and become columns. And so you think you're going left and right, you actually have to go up and down because it.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. What it's doing.
So control zero or command zero on a map will snap it back to 100%. And that's your whole fix. You're done on that. Now, how did it get there? Do you have a cat?
No, I used to.
Okay. All right. Can we still blame the cat?
I can't blame the cat, but I have had that happen where the percentages have changed on its own, or right. I accidentally hit it or something like that. So I could totally see that's probably what's happening.
Yeah, control plus and control minus, holding down control, then touching minus or plus will make it go up and down. Sometimes a cat will do that. You can also, with a touchpad, if you got your two fingers on there, you can actually accidentally do that, or if you control scroll with the scroll wheel, do you use your scroll wheel on your mouse?
Yeah, sometimes.
If you brush against control and do the scroll, you're doing the zooming instead of what you want to do, the scrolling.
Right.
So those
are
the ways to do that. But the way out of it, good old control zero will get you right back to where you want. Okay?
Perfect.
Also, here's a real trick I forgot to tell you. What really does is that most browsers, most common browsers, Chrome, Edge, Firefox, all remember the zoom by website. So you can go to other websites, it looks perfectly fine. But you go to Trouble, and it's all craziness because it takes the zoom level, for your convenience, by each website. So you got to watch out for that because you think, well, it's good everywhere else. Why is Trouble broken? It goes, no.
Right.
It's just remembering the Zoom for Trouble by itself. All right.
Well, thank you, Christy. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad. Oh, now you get to go back to work. I'm sorry, Monica.
You get some things done now.
Well, yeah, that's true. That'll be good. All right. Yeah,
thanks
for calling.
Bye-bye.
One of the things we didn't talk about, there's a lot of settings in there, but browser zoom is separate from Windows display scaling, with settings, then display, then scale. Now, scaling, you know, in the Windows enlarges everything on the whole screen, not just the browser, not just the browser window, not just the one website. So it's a better tool for someone who finds everything too small, not just one site. Watch out about whether or not you've accidentally expanded. Maybe do that the control zero thing to make sure you're at 100% if websites are wonky.
Here's our second call of the day. This is Lee. And if you remember, Lee's one of our regular callers who is sharing his journey with Linux with us. Let's see what's going on now.
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, hello, Christy. This is Linux Lee. I'm back again, just like a bad penny. And I have a good question for you. I'm using Linux, and every now and then it's all of a sudden, if I haven't keystroked the stroke, it asks me for my password again. Well, I made up a long password, and so it's kind of annoying to have to type all those digits, especially if I mistype one. So I want to change the password to something that is more easy to remember and short.
Oh, okay.
Can you help me out with that?
Sure, sure. Now, you can log in. Obviously, you're typing that password every time the screen, so you're good with that, right?
That's right.
If you lost the password, it's a little more complicated. You got booted, recovery mode, restart, interrupt bootloader, withholding down shift, tapping escape, da, 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 da. So, friends, if you have that problem, give a call. We'll walk you through. But we won't go through Larry about for this one. Go ahead and so in Linux, the standard Cinnamon desktop, which is the default in Linux Mint. You haven't changed it or anything, have you?
No, Linux Mint is my favorite.
Okay. Well, Linux Mint can have different desktops, graphic user interface, and the Cinnamon one is the desktop is the standard. So you can click the menu button bottom left. Users and groups is where you're looking. And it will ask you for the password, so change your password and use your password. Check your account in your list, click the label passwords, enter the new password twice, and you're confirmed. Now, that is with, Windows refugees menu interface kind of people, which it's okay. We don't judge. There is, if you go down to terminal or command line or whatever you want to say, the terminal route actually has a password command, and that's spelled weird, P-A-S-S-W-D, so without the O-R, that's password. And you just, when you're logged in an administrator, you open a terminal, type pass-W-D, password, all together, no spaces. And then it asks three things, your current passwords, and then the new passwords twice. And if you're going for that, you got to remember that nothing appears on the screen as your type. So that is, if you're not ready for that, that's weird. You are typing. It is working. You just can't see it. So that's kind of a security thing. And if you want to change a different user, you do have to drop down into terminal and you do good old sudo. And then sudo. Remember, we talked about that before, sudo. How do you say that? How do you say it?
Sudo.
All right.
Sudo. You do.
Yeah. It's super user do, if you want to remember it that way. And super user do, password, and then username to use a different username than the one you're logged in with. Okay? So that'll get your password down. Now, if you want to still got – let's see how we're doing. We're doing all right. If you get a little did you say the screensaver was coming on too quick, or did I just assume that?
Yeah, it just seems to pop up too quick, yeah.
Okay, there's two different things. There's sleep with the power management. Does it go all the way off, or?
No, the screen's still there, and it just says all of a sudden the inner password thing comes up.
Okay. So that's the screensaver, not the sleep, which is under power management. But you want to look under screensaver, so you actually will type screensaver to open it. And then the first drop down is delay before screensaver, and you can set it to whatever you want or never. And now watch, maybe you're okay with the timing, just the typing and the passwords. You can clear the little lock settings, and you clear that in lock settings, and you look down there, it says lock the computer when put to sleep and delay before locking. So you could have the screen save at one time, and then after a while later, it'll lock it. So you can say like, oh, I want the screen to stop at 3 minutes, but if it after the screen is saved and, another 5 minutes maybe, at 10 minutes say, lock it. So it doesn't have to lock right when it clears the screen. There could be a different delay, yeah. Or you can just say no, don't lock it at all, or whatever you want.
There's many options there.
Yeah,
I'll give them careful thought. But the easy way to do it, the easy way to reset the command is just to. I don't even have to go to the command line, but I think I will try that command line. And if I'm successful. Even though the writing doesn't appear on the screen, If I'm successful, that'll be my first successful use of the command line.
Well, there you go. Well, I don't know if you want to try your first time out doing passwords.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah, you may not. You may want to do something else, like set the time. I don't know, something else. All right, but hey, good luck. Hope you don't lock yourself out. And if you do, call back because we'll tell you how to get it back. If you've lost your admin password, we'll tell you how to get it back. So that could be so you got a sort of a safety net there, if you will, password thing. All right, Lee. Great. Well, thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you so much,
Christy. Good luck with Linux.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Now, Lee's question was about Linux. It almost always is, but it points to something waiting to bite Windows users. Stay with me. When you set up a Windows computer, especially on 11, Windows practically insists that you create a PIN, a personal identification number, a short code that unlocks the machine. Fair enough. The PIN is generally good security. It only stays on a local computer and works on that one. But unfortunately, after a while, you forget your Microsoft account password. Now, your Microsoft account password opens your account. PIN just opens your computer. So your email, your files, you're everywhere. You never type it, and you often forget it. So many times, people come in, and they don't even know they have a Microsoft account. This is why that's important. On many newer Windows 11 machines, maybe everyone, I would say, Microsoft encrypts your hard drive automatically, scrambles it. So no one can read your files if they try to steal it, including you. So your computer won't start someday. Your PIN's worthless because it only starts a computer. All the old rescue tricks, booting from repair disk, pulling your photos off the drive, are just scrambled nonsense now. You need to go get the recovery code. The recovery code is, guess where? Microsoft account. And guess what you need? Your Microsoft password that you forgot 2 years ago. So make sure you know your Microsoft account password. Sign in to Microsoft.com, and if you can't sign in, figure out how. Reset that password while nothing's on fire, and maybe consider to unencrypt that hard drive under device encryption for home or under BitLocker if you have Pro. Keep that Microsoft password in your and not in your password manager, because if you only have one computer and you die, you can't get to it. Maybe you write it down, put it in something safe in your password book or in your files, and make sure you have that, because when that hard drive is locked and you want to get into it, you really want that code. You can also save the code. You can log in the account, save the code, print that out too.
Here's our last phone call of the day. This is Doug, and Doug's all locked up.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Doug Brown.
Hey, Doug.
I'm calling in because I have some computer problems.
Okay.
I had run into a problem. I had been on my laptop that morning working on my spreadsheet. And as I was getting toward the end of it, and I was getting ready to save everything, which I thought I had done.
Yeah.
I got a warning thing popped up on the screen that the program was going to do something, update itself. So a red line come across, and it went about halfway across and come to a dead stop.
Okay.
And I said, wait a minute. So I tried to say, okay, it's supposed to go all the way across.
We would hope. We would expect that, yes.
And so I couldn't access my thumb drives. I couldn't access the hard drive.
Okay, so when you say access, you mean you couldn't find any files there, or that when you clicked the file?
I clicked on where it was supposed to go, and nothing happened.
Okay, but the file name was there, right? Or?
Well, the file names were there.
Okay.
I've had that happen before where the file name is there, but the material is gone.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it just,
so
nothing
I
happened.
I got nervous. Yeah,
okay.
And I got nervous and jerky because I couldn't get anything to work. So because I purchased this thing from that computer place.
Yeah.
So then I drove all the way to Carson from Dayton, out here in Dayton. I drove all the way into Carson and went in and says, help, somebody help me here.
Well,
I think I lost everything.
Yeah, well, the good news is that the files were still there. I mean, you know, you got
well,
the
yeah, but as soon as the gentleman that was there, he said, just a minute, he says, let's look at it. So he plugged it into their system there, and he says, the files are there. He says, something's hanging up. He says, there's a glitch, like a hiccup here in the download. And I said, what? And so he played with it for a second, and he went into programs I didn't even know were on the computer.
Okay.
And he got it working, and then they were there. I said, oh, good. And I checked.
Okay, I think I know what happened. I mean, you told us what happened at the beginning. There was an update problem. So what happened?
Right.
Do you know what program you were using to
Libre?
LibreOffice. Okay. Okay.
Right.
The Calc is the spreadsheet-like program. Okay.
Spreadsheet-like program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened?
It's similar. It's similar to Microsoft, but that's.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're by design. Yeah.
So anyway, I talked to him for a minute, and he said, "Well, you know, those thumb drives, they don't last good. They fade out."
Yeah.
I said, "So what do you use if you're going to save the thing? You know, I've been using thumb drives for years." And he says, "You want to use this thing?" It was like a miniature hard drive.
Right. Okay. So, it's another problem. So that was the SSD. They got you an M.2 and SSD, which is much more reliable than the old USB memory sticks.
So,
but let's
go
back to the original problem. What happened? You had a fail update. I mean, that happens. That's a common, and that's probably why they could pick it up so easy. LibreOffice, God bless them. Right about now, we're seeing a lot of them in the shop because if you never let LibreOffice update, and it doesn't update unless you go in and actually say update about help update LibreOffice or use some package manager to do that. LibreOffice update, the 224, the 2024 edition, I know that one, that is, dies now with the latest updates on Windows. You got to keep them in sync. You got to keep them in lockstep, kind of update the LibreOffice, update Windows back and forth. So what happened is Windows has taken a couple steps beyond what good old 2024 LibreOffice can understand. And we're seeing them cough up and die because there's a little piece of it. You said a part you didn't know. That was probably Microsoft.net. So once you go in another way and use like a package manager, which you don't know, or download a fresh copy of LibreOffice up to date and get it up to date so it's all in sync with Windows, then you're back on the set. But you're right, those updates, they can trip you up. So glad you got it sorted out.
How often should I go to Libre and say update?
Yeah, I think monthly would be really good. There shouldn't be that. You never know when something crazy is going to happen, you know, and then it's all hands on deck, run around and update. But monthly should hit it. But, you know, Doug, I tell you, this whole nother conversation, but with AI out there finding nasties, the updates are getting crazy nuts. So I don't know. Monthly is good. In LibreOffice, you would look under help about somewhere in there, and there'll be an update option. You can update it there.
Okay.
That would be good. Or, yeah, okay. All right, Doug, thanks. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for telling other people. I'm sure more than one person's had this problem, and now they got a shot at getting their files back.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I could.
All right, thanks, Doug.
Now, WinGet is a package manager that from Microsoft that helps you get updated when the updater doesn't work. Most will want to, however, just uninstall the stuck program, reboot, always good to restart, and then download a fresh copy from the author's website, in this case, LibreOffice, and reinstall. To update LibreOffice, it's on the far menu, help. Right above the help, it says check for updates. So go ahead and do that today and make sure you don't have a problem when there's a problem under. One of the things we talked about was about USB and M.2. They kind of look the same. The M.2 external drive is a little bit bigger than USB. USB is dumb. It has a dumb controller. It's only good for Sneakernet, for moving one files from one computer to another. do not store stuff on them because they will just die without warning. And then you will be sad, especially if you had it in a drawer and you thought, oh, I got my, no, it's not really a backup. NVMe, the M.2 thing is just like in your laptop. It has a smarter controller. It does something called wear leveling. And the big payoff is that it is faster. On a USB, you're going to read about 100 to 200 per second. You're going to write 20 to 50 megabytes per second. But with a good USB and an M.2, guess what? You're hitting 1,000. You're hitting 1,000 instead of 20 to 50. And if you got a really high 3.2 gen or better, you're hitting 2,000. So instead of a 20 to 40 minute backup of 50 gigs, you're doing it in a minute or two. There's no comparison. USB is just for throwaway, maybe an extra boot disk if you have special stuff, or you're going to move it from one to a friend's, or you're taking it from home to office. But don't store anything in there. Get yourself an external M.2 SSD drive.
Yep. Those little USB sticks are made for the sneaker net only. Well, Christy, we have come to the end of our show. With great sadness, I must announce that we need to just go out with your words of wisdom.
This has been Battleborne Tech. Thanks to our callers, Monica, Lee, and Doug, who called us at 775-241-3571. We're in studio Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Call us in, 775-241-3571, or anytime to set up a call to record for a later broadcast. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. That's break like shattering heat records, not break like a runaway token break we slapped on our chatty AIs. Our engineer is Joe Bly, keeper of the faders, remover of the coughs, the only person who knows what this show sounds like before it learns its manners. Same show, better version. Thanks to Joe. And thanks to Anthony, our ex post facto checker. Anthony fact checks the broadcast as it airs. Whatever he catches go up on battleborne.tech, and the big ones will confess next week. The truth arrives on delay, but it arrives. Notice jokes this episode were assisted by Claude AI, so you can blame the lame ones on it. To get even, ask AI to describe the smell of rain on a hot Nevada highway. It'll give you a lovely paragraph, but you know you have the actual memory. Winning. Support locally produced ad-free shows by donating to knvc.org by clicking the big donate button at the top right corner and give Battleborne Tech a shout-out in the comments. Our email is questions@battleborne.tech. That's questions with an S and T-E-C-H at the end. Our latest links are bbtl.ink/stats. Get the links you missed there. Check battleborne.tech for show notes and announcements, and the corrections are there too. The big ones we put on next week's show. This has been Battleborne Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Carefully review this episode, or speed listen to the ones you missed at the show's website, battleborne.tech, or your favorite podcast player. Just search for Battleborne Tech. That's all for Battleborne Tech, where the Wi-Fi is strong, the fonts are good looking, and all the passwords are above average. For those listening live, we're going from security to serenity. Stay tuned for High Desert Music with Molly Moser, original songs, local artists, and the stories behind them. It starts right now. Have a neat week and tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific right here on KNBC FM 95.1. Bow, 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 bow